Okay, let's talk about some of the events looking forward in the most immediate future, if we can, both of you, economically, weather-related, and human-related, of course, as well. How do you want to pick that up, George or Cliff?
Let me start by saying that one thing I'm increasingly aware of, and to a certain extent taking some satisfaction in, is that we're getting better at predicting what we're calling release versus building tension periods. So we can give you a date based on our data at the moment when, right at the moment, we're in what we call a release period, where lots of the language you're going to see in the press is all about secrets revealed and kind of emotional language about people getting all upset and releasing those emotions. Like any given item in any given story, you're going to get a lot of emotional reaction out of it. Now, very shortly, though, we're going to hit a period where, on a dime, our data is indicating that the language in the global media stream is going to go from release period to building tension period. And that building tension period in our data at this point extends about 75 or so days. And so this should be kind of a noticeable thing. Now, we're not saying that there's a tipping point coming, but it has the same, or it has a greater level of emotional potential than was involved in the tipping point that we discovered prior to the September 11th. I do not wish to be obscure or unclear, because I am specifically not alluding to a potential event per se. What we do have is that this sudden turnaround, which actually comes on, according to our data, on September 19th, UTC at about between 5 a.m. and 6:15 a.m., that's when our data shows that the language will shift over from release to build. So we know that there's going to be some kind of series of events or circumstances that will manifest prior to that time that will get people to shift over the language, and it'll probably start sometime in mid-August.
Okay. Now, when you say the shift, exactly what does that mean?
Well, this is where it gets a little bit difficult to explain. But basically, you can think of release emotion of people in a theater, and suddenly somebody jumps up and screams fire, and everybody starts screaming. They're releasing emotion like mad. We're in one of those things right now. Okay, or the alternate, the building tension is they're sitting in the theater, and it was a very well-made movie, and the movie is a scary horror film, and they're all of a sudden gasping.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a building tension kind of a reaction.
Okay, so that's what you're interpreting? That's what you're seeing?
That's what we're seeing. Now, we know that at least one-third of that value has to do with the what we're calling the near-death experience of the dollar, which is undergoing right now. And we've been predicting this for, geez, George will have to give me some help.
Yeah, it's pretty close to 2 years. And again, one of the things that's important here, George, is remember the longer vision we have of an event before it arrives, generally the bigger it is. And so when some of the language goes to the idea of employment crash, near-death experience for the dollar, strength in the precious metals, those kinds of things, we really pay pretty close attention to it just because it means so much to so many people.
Okay. Now, help me out here, though, in terms of some specifics, you know, as you picked up earthquakes, as you've picked up plane crashes, as you've picked up, you know, the anthrax scare, you've got to be feeling some specifics here.
We have some specifics. We have indications that the horrid flooding is still continuing. But let me also state that we've had a shift in our language over the past probably year to where a lot of the flooding events, as may be expected, are now no longer individual events. They're all blurring into this global flooding situation. Okay?
All right.
So under that kind of an understanding, what we're getting is a situation where the immediacy and the short-term values are indicating that the flooding is going to continue.
All right.
And we're going to be joined by one very nasty wind driven damage situation. The flooding will continue to the point where we get into some trouble with numbers because numbers don't go through the archetypes too well. So, for instance, the pre-Katrina Rita FEMA disaster, we predicted 13 million would be in what we called the diaspora, which was the dispersion of the peoples. And in reality, it was 1.3 million people that were evacuated, and who knows how many people, 230,000 families, that were relocated. So you see our numbers were off. And so given that error rate, we're now getting numbers that are saying that, well, maybe 7 million people are going to be displaced by flooding. Doesn't necessarily mean permanent, but there is this language showing up again for another diaspora. So we're kind of thinking that maybe there's going to be another large hurricane event, and at the other side of the hurricane, the commentary coming from what we call the global media stream will be more focused on the wind damage than the water damage. So unlike the Katrina kind of a thing, it won't be a storm surge that will create the most chaos or the most words in the press, really. It'll be the winds. And this is seemingly showing up before or slightly around the fall equinox, so before September 20th or thereabouts.
And if I remember correctly, Cliff, doesn't that also include going as far north as the Canadian border, some reference to
a big northern push inland,
states.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Now, we have to say we always err on the side of the extreme because our data has a tendency to be concentrated into a thick, syrupy mass of negative values, and it is hard for us to get the reality out of that, but we do tend to get the descriptors right. So it may not get all the way to the Canadian border with damage, but the storm may finally peter out at the Canadian border.
And what's our time frame here?
Sometime around September, before, let's say, the end of September, it appears to be associated with the equinox.
Okay.
We find that in spite of their protestations otherwise, humans have a tendency to have language that clusters around major solar and lunar events.
Okay, let me give you some topics, and then you tell me if you feel or see them, maybe elaborate on them.
Sure.
With a date or two. How about health? Any health issues?
We're seeing that there's a lot of language indicating that in the January to March period of 2008, pandemic is going to resurface with some seriousness.
Really?
Probably bird flu.
Yes. Bird flu and then something else as well. We're not really sure. Part of that, though, also includes...
And that could be merely discussion of, right? Doesn't necessarily mean a pandemic will occur. It could be people maybe talking about it then.
Yeah, no, because what we're seeing is not the calmness of the language that would indicate that. Rather, we're seeing a lot of hyperbole and intensity in the language that indicates there's some kind of fear associated.
Okay,
with it.
Now, is there any way to determine whether, because I've never been a believer in the pandemic theory, but is there a way to interpret whether this is done intentionally or not?
If so, I'm never going there. Intent is something I don't go to. That
you don't go. You won't go, or you don't go.
I won't go. There's a lot of things I won't do. I'm a rather nasty, stubborn individual in that regard.